We want to talk about the rising lake levels that have been wreaking havoc on Michigan's Great Lakes shorelines. Those images of private homes teetering on eroding bluffs, we've all seen them. They're really dramatic. But you should see them from Randy Claypool's point of view. He's the owner of Truly Michigan Aerial out of Muskegon. Mr. Claypool, welcome to Stateside.
Hi there.
You've been doing aerial photography for, what, about 5 years now?
About 5 years now, yes.
What kind of places do you fly over, and who are you flying for?
Well, we pretty much dedicated our company to creating movies and documentaries of Michigan, so we fly over the entire state of Michigan.
And are you mostly just making your own films, or is this sometimes for people who need the footage for their own uses?
A little of both. We create our own movies and documentaries. We're self-funded. We do not sponsor or anything like that. It's always been my lifelong passion to own a business with airplanes and to create movies. So it just seems like Michigan is a great backdrop for it.
What are you seeing up there as of, say, last fall and this winter around the edge of the lake?
Well, when we started to do our documentary in June, it was actually June 5th we began filming. We started filming from St. Joseph, and we followed north along the shoreline, and we were starting to see hints of erosion. And then throughout the year to follow, we heard about the erosion. So December 5th, which was actually 6 months to the day later, we filmed from South Haven to Fishtown Leland, and the erosion was pretty dramatic. And the most dramatic areas, of course, were the high bluffs, where the waves could eat at the bottom and create the erosion. And we saw houses, you know, on the edge of the hills and whole trees that have fallen from the cliffs right down to the beach, stuff like that.
Wow. Have you compared the newer footage with the older clips to see if the change really is as pronounced as that reaction tells you?
We have. In fact, we've taken photos and compared them from June 5th to December 5th, and just dramatic changes.
Do you ever see people working on their homes trying to salvage them or repair the damage?
What we've seen is several excavating companies have actually put their excavators right in the water, right in Lake Michigan, to, you know, move boulders around and make seawalls and things like that.
That's a thing?
I didn't know it was. It was pretty extraordinary to actually see that equipment in Lake Michigan, but I guess that's what they do.
I'm guessing a lot of what you do comes from wanting to show people all those places along the waterline in Michigan. And you live near the shoreline, too.
Yes.
What is it like to look down and see all those houses and roads overwhelmed?
It's pretty sad. And we also realize we are actually recording history because the water level has exceeded record levels. So we are experiencing something that people have never seen.
You mentioned that this becomes an exercise in recording history. Is there anything that you can do to sort of formalize what you've seen in footage that you were gathering for yourself?
Well, we are cataloging all of this, and we plan on doing more missions when we can to record more.
Would you say that people who live in that part of the world are, you know, how they're feeling about all this right now?
From what I can gather, of course, they're very devastated, and it has to be. You know, a lot of people are actually moving their homes back, if they can, away from the lakeshore. And the other ones, unfortunately, are just losing their homes. We have heard through different meteorologists that the lake water is supposed to rise even more this year. They're saying up to 20 more inches. So that is very concerning. A lot of the inland lakes that are, you know, connected to Lake Michigan are experiencing high water levels as well. Some of the marinas, the docks are underwater. So there's an extensive line of damage from this.
Randy Claypool of Truly Michigan Aerial. We've been talking to him from his home in Muskegon. Thank you for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We have a 35-second clip of Randy's work, and if you check on the Stateside website a little bit later today, you can see for yourself what he's talking about. Now, the lakeshore erosion is also posing serious infrastructure challenges. Just on Monday, lawmakers and officials from several state departments, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, got together in Lansing to talk about options for tackling the problem. Brad Wiefrich is part of the state's first high water coordinating summit. He's the director of the Bureau of Development for the Michigan Department of Transportation, and he joins me now. Brad, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much for having me.
So from an infrastructure point of view, how bad is the problem?
It's getting pretty bad. At MDOT, we are tracking about 40 sites across the state on all four of the Great Lakes that touch the state of Michigan. And again, these are 40 sites on the roads that Michigan Department of Transportation has jurisdiction on.
Can you give us some examples within that of what you're dealing with? I mean, is it total collapse in all cases?
Not in all cases, no. There's actually kind of three categories that we have. One is the slope failures that I'm sure you've seen pictures of, not only the homes going in, but roads as well. M25 over in Sanilac County along the Thumb has some significant issues. You've probably seen the M185, which is the road around Mackinac Island,
right,
has had those issues. So we have the slope failure issues. We also have inundation issues where the water levels are simply coming up so high that they're either going to overtop the roadway, or the ditches and storm sewers that are intended to take water away from our roadways are backing up themselves. Plus, the volume of water that we're seeing in our rivers is also potentially going to be an issue for scour, which is the action of water flow around the piers and foundations, literally eroding away the materials that hold them in place.
Let's say we wanted to just turn back the clock and go to a point maybe 10 years ago where the roads in these areas were not impeded by lake levels. What is the range in cost that you think it would take to make repairs to get everything back to what people think of as normal?
So that's what we're trying to really get our arms around right now. We're in the very preliminary stages of trying to assess what our risk is. And from what we've gathered so far at these roughly 40 sites, we're going to spend about $5 million immediately just to get things passable and to keep things passable. But when you look at the long-term fixes, the things that we would need to do in order to repair all of these sites, you could be looking in the ballpark of around $100 million. So again, that's probably conservative, and that's not a real detailed estimate, kind of back-of-the-napkin thing. But when you start thinking about the sizes of some of these slopes and the repairs that we'd have to make, or quite literally having to move the road inland, those costs can quickly add up.
You know, I feel like, please correct me if I'm wrong, this is probably above and beyond what the state is already talking about needing to truly address road repairs to the extent that they deserve.
You're absolutely right. You know, the money that would be needed to take care of these things is not something that we can go out and find. It has to come out of our existing budgets. So whether it's budgets that we have for our regular maintenance, or if it's money that we have currently programmed for road and bridge projects, we'd have to take it out of our existing budgets.
Well, I mean, every road fail is a problem for the people driving on it. How much does the erosion problem complicate the department's plans to address many other areas in need?
Well, kind of like anything else, when something that we weren't planning for pops up, it puts us in very reactionary mode. That's why it's important that when we have a sustainable funding source, we can go ahead and plan a few years out, use asset management to really pick the right projects at the right time. And when we're kind of throwing curveballs like this, we have to scramble in order to come up with the money, first of all, decide what's not going to get done so that we can ensure that these most critical issues get addressed.
As we mentioned, there were a lot of other parties at the table at the summit, the Army Corps, Department of Natural Resources. What kind of conversations were happening?
You know, it was interesting. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the Army Corps. I learned a lot from Eagle. I learned a lot from the Weather Service folks that were able to kind of give us some of the data behind why we're seeing what we're seeing. So that was very interesting. In MDAR, the agricultural folks were there as well, talking about how saturated the soils are and from their perspective, how that limits the ability to get crops in. And that same saturation that you're seeing in the fields is also under our pavements.
Right.
And that, quite honestly, as an engineer, I'm I'm anxious and concerned to see what happens this spring. We all know about potholes in the springs in the state of Michigan, and with even more water in the soil this year, I think we can expect to see plenty more.
Brad, we have less than a minute to go. I just wanted to ask, is this the new normal?
I'm not a hydrologist or a meteorologist. I don't know. And that's probably what makes the makes this so difficult to plan. Like I said, when we have knowns and we're able to plan and be able to make the most sound decisions, we're at our best. Obviously, we're at our best right now because we're scrambling to make those good decisions as well. But we just don't know if it's the new normal. We have to plan for cases that, you know, that we otherwise had not been planning for.
Brad Wiefrich is director of the Bureau of Development for Michigan's Department of Transportation. Thanks for checking in with us on this.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.